The Russian government is facing scrutiny after releasing conflicting information about a nuclear explosion in the northern part of the country that killed at least 7 people on an offshore rig last Thursday. Russian officials initially downplayed the scale of the incident, and they did not confirm that the explosion involved a nuclear reactor until Sunday. United States intelligence officials told our next guest that they believe the explosion may have involved a nuclear-propelled missile, which raises new questions about ongoing tensions between the U.S. and Russia. The Kremlin refused to confirm this, but a spokesman said, quote, accidents happen. David Sanger is a national security correspondent for The New York Times, and he's been following all of the latest developments closely. David, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Great to be with you, Tanzina.
So explain to us the timeline here. I mean, the Russians first reported one thing and they started to change that story. What was that about?
Well, you know, on Thursday, when this all happened, their initial report was that there had been some kind of accident involving a liquid-fueled rocket. This was near a missile testing center that they have up on the White Sea. That's a part of northern Russia, sort of closest to Finland. And that didn't seem to jibe with some information that showed up on a website for one of the nearest cities, which indicated a spike in radiation, a brief one, on Thursday afternoon. And that raised the question, well, liquid-fueled rockets don't create radiation. What was possibly going on here? And as things unfolded over the next few days, it turned out that there weren't just 2 people missing. It looks like there were up to 7 dead and maybe more. Then the Russians changed their story and said that the problem had been with an isotope power supply for a liquid-fueled rocket. So isotope was the first acknowledgement that something radiological was going on here. And, of course, the more we pieced together, the more it ended up looking like they were testing a new missile that Vladimir Putin had announced last year, a missile that was called is nuclear powered, or at least partly nuclear powered, and which has been called Skyfall by NATO.
And we'll get into a little bit more about the specifics of that missile. I'm wondering, what's the difference between what the Russians were claiming and what the U.S. is claiming? And does the United States have anything to back up its claim that this may have been that nuclear-propelled missile that exploded?
Well, it's interesting. American intelligence officials have said nothing in public. I've had some background conversations with some intelligence officials. But shortly after we published our story saying that U.S. intelligence had identified this as the Skyfall missile, it goes by a different name by the Russians, President Trump tweeted out on Monday evening that, in fact, he had been receiving intelligence about the accident involving the Skyfall missile and that the U.S. was learning a lot about it and that we had similar technology and that ours worked. Which is, depending on what he meant by that, not entirely correct.
David, this explosion happened on an offshore rig, but tell us again, what was the nuclear radiation level impact both on land and in the sea?
Well, on land, it seems fairly modest. There was an increase off the background level that was initially described as 2 times normal, and then later described as 16 times normal. Even at 16 times, it would not be a whole lot worse than what you would get in other, you know, normal events, flying airplanes, getting an X-ray, so forth and so on. We don't know what it is at sea. And one of the interesting theories about this, Cincinnati, is that the missile was launched, and of course, the way this missile works, it did not have a nuclear warhead on the front. That would only be, you know, obviously in times of conflict, but it was powered by a nuclear reactor. And if that went bad, it looks like the missile went right into the sea. It didn't operate the way it was supposed to. And there is some indication that the accident happened when they recovered it and brought it back up above, back onto this platform. And by the account of the institute where 5 of the scientists were employed, it then exploded in some way, killed all of those who were working on it on the platform. And that suggests that in some way the sea may have actually been cooling this nuclear reactor, and that when they brought it up, it spun out of control.
David, is this an indication that there's an increase here for a potential danger with the nuclear arms race between the United States and Russia?
Well, there are two separate issues here. One way to interpret this is that the Russians are trying some new experimental means that President Putin has announced to enable their missiles to go anywhere on Earth. And that would be the advantage of having a nuclear reactor at the back of a missile. In other words, that it could fly almost indefinitely. The United States tried this in the late 50s and early 60s in something called Project Pluto, and they gave it up by 1964. They couldn't make it work, and it was spewing radiation out the exhaust. So that's the sort of short-term view, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Russians discover, as the Americans did, that this technology doesn't work. But the bigger picture is just what you suggest, that both the U.S. and Russia, and of course China, are developing new kinds of missiles that don't fit into existing arms treaties, aren't covered by existing arms treaties, that are made to evade missile defenses. And the suggestion of this entire incident is that the Russians probably won't be deterred, that they will double down in finding new ways, because Putin views this as a way of restoring the grand power of the Soviet Union, whose demise he's always regretted.
We've mentioned that President Trump has tweeted about this, saying that the United States has similar more advanced technology. President Putin, so far as we know, has not made any official statements on this. What does this do to the Trump-Putin relationship, which has been quite a spectacle under the Trump administration so far?
It certainly has. And one way to interpret what's going on is that both sides are building up capabilities in order to be able to trade them away in some grander arms negotiation. And certainly President Trump has said he wants new arms agreements that cover every type of arm and also includes China, which all of the old ones involving the United States and the Soviet Union and then later on with Russia did not. But so far, there's been no motion in that direction. And the Chinese clearly are not interested. They keep a smaller number of weapons, but have invested heavily in high technology in those weapons.
Well, we'll have to watch and see. David Sanger is the national security correspondent for The New York Times. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to The New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.